Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You're a funny fucking woman.
Thank you very much.
Person.
Thank you. I am a woman. It's all right.
You are funny regardless of your genitalia.
I might have a penis. We don't know.
Really?
We'll find out on this show.
We're going to have to talk. Let's do this goddamn thing. Hello, and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
That's right, and please go to iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast for free and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I beam you to the mothership.
You don't have a particle transporter.
How do you know?
Because you're always asking me to run errands for you.
Maybe I'm trying to help you keep fit.
Why not just beam some of my fat into your tits?
I see that someone's beamed your brains into your cock.
That explains a lot.
Yes, it does. If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Drew Lynch and Laura Hayden. You know these folks from the World of Reason.
And Showbiz.
And Showbiz, yeah. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Are you okay? What's wrong, Laura?
I am blown away by your intro. It was so, like, you did it off the top so perfectly. I would have stuttered or something. Yeah. No offense, Drew. I would have messed that up, and you were just like a robot. I don't know. It was professional.
It's good to know. Nothing as good is ever gonna happen.
Yeah,
we're not practiced at all. We haven't done this for 60 episodes.
I was like, wow, that was like automatic. Perfectness.
Thank you.
So now, I worked with Drew on a show where we roasted Santa.
I saw that show.
Yeah. Oh, you
I was there for that.
She was in the audience.
Well, I thought it was very good.
I'm sorry.
You were funny. That was a good show. You did a fine job. You played an elf, if I remember right.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. It was a fun show.
Santa deserves a roast. I don't know why it's taken so long.
Right?
Yeah.
Who played Santa again? What was his name?
Well, Santa was played by Dustin Kaufman.
Dustin Kaufman deserves the roast.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. No shit.
And I didn't know Santa liked weed that much.
Many things we don't know about Santa. Dustin.
That's how he flies around in one night.
Well, apparently, we know that he's white.
Just down the chimney. And Jewish, apparently, too, now.
Oh, he's Jewish now?
Well, if Dustin Kaufman was playing Santa. Oh, right.
I don't know. Is Dustin really a Jew? I don't know. Mm. He's not a real Jew. I've seen him eat bacon.
Have you seen the fro?
He does have the Jufro.
The Jufro must be everywhere on his body. I'm just guessing.
Oh,
all over.
Yeah, but he should be more successful in Hollywood.
The elf is giving us more confirmation on yes.
Well, I used to roommate with the Dustin.
So. Get out of here.
Oh, no, you were a roommate?
I was.
Did you ever see? He was on the show and he told us that he had dug into the mirror of the bathroom about Gail being dead or something. Did you see this?
I never saw it. He texted me that after I had left. I think he probably smoked a bowl and took his lipstick and did it himself.
Well, it was scratched like a key or something like that. He was so convinced that it was real.
He came on the show and talked about it. That's how convinced.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's possible. It was a pretty creepy place.
The whole place was?
The whole place.
Was it a big place or?
Really? It was pretty small, but I would find Dustin's hair
everywhere.
Like, I still if I look tonight, I'll still find Dustin's hair. So yeah, it was, it's funny because he separates apart in the living room with curtains.
He does, yeah.
And calls that his room. and you have to knock and shit and
on a curtain
curtain. So it was an experience.
Did you have your own room there?
Yeah, I had my own room.
You didn't just have a curtain.
No, it was a door. The knocking rules were never respected for that though.
You had a door and it wasn't used.
Yeah.
He demanded you make a knocking sound at his curtain.
Too many mornings was I woken up by Dustin standing over me with a laptop saying, "Hey, check this out." And so
you should have gotten a curtain.
Yeah. I would have had more privacy, but I never took as many trips to Goodwill as I did.
All right, we're going to talk about aliens. We're going to talk about UFOs. We're going to talk about crop circles on this show.
Awesome. I want to talk about...
Before we move on, I want to talk about the elephant in the room. All right? Okay. You're really short.
Yeah.
Now, does that get in the way of your comedy performances?
One of my biggest insecurities. When people talk about that, I just
started stuttering, as I understand, in the last few years, right?
Yeah. It was,
let's tell the listeners about this.
It was two years ago, and I was on a company softball team, and I was playing shortstop, and it was a grounder that was hit towards me and took a bad pop up and paralyzed my vocal cords, so that's why it opens and closes on my sound, and also why I'm so short.
he would have grown a minimum of 6 inches in this time had he not been hit by that fucking ball.
Was it
a softball or a baseball?
It was to everyone's disappointment. It was a softball.
Wow, that's really gay. That's
it's a gay thing. As they were rushing me to the hospital, I was like, this is pretty fucking gay, right?
So did you develop the stutter after, or was it kind of an immediate effect?
I used to talk much slower than this. So I got more control over it, but it wasn't. I went home and I slept on a concussion. So I woke up the next day much slower.
It could be much worse though. I mean, you could be like Dustin.
You could
be hairy.
You could have hair everywhere and live in a living room.
I mean, maybe he just takes things so literally. Like, no, you live in a living room.
Yeah, I guess the word bedroom eluded him.
Yeah. The bedroom is where the bed sleeps.
So, all right, now we've got that explained to the listeners. I think your comedy is fantastic, and I really enjoyed – every time we talk about the night that we were both on that show and you were an elf, it seems like you didn't enjoy that show or doing that character.
Always so self-conscious about my voice, and Dustin's show put it in this structure where it has to focus on Santa, you know, roasting Santa. So
you were out of your element. You take the stage by yourself with a mic, you introduce the concept, you let them know who you are, and the elephant in the room is out.
Exactly.
In this format, you didn't have a way to do that.
Exactly. And so in that way, it may have appeared unpleasant at that time, but it was actually such a learning experience, because you know, you can't just make it about you. It's something that was teaching me to grow in that.
Well,
time,
I wish I had known you before that set, because I would have given you this advice. And I can't remember exactly everything that you did in the set. I fell in love with your comedy and you that night. I thought you were just hilarious. So your performance, in my opinion, hit. But did you do anything at the top of that performance about the stuttering? Did you?
No.
You know how easy that is? All you would have had to do is say that Santa beat the shit out of you, and he caused this.
Right.
And then it's characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then everybody hates Santa.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they do anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I hated him since I was a child. I actually knew Drew pre-shortness.
You did not?
I did.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. And he was funny then. He's funnier now.
Well, you know, when you get a hook, everything changes. That's pretty. Well, it's an amazing story. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Yeah.
I want to ask both of you point blank, and this is a fun question to ask. I asked you at the improv last night, Laura.
I probably forgot. Was I drinking?
Yeah, drinking.
she's always drinking.
Do you believe in UFOs and aliens? And your response. What is it?
Conceptually, yes, I do. I'm not sure about UFOs.
Yeah.
But I do believe there's life outside of just us.
Okay.
I do. With all the universes and worlds and planets and stuff out there, we can't be the only idiots out there. I mean, we can't be that special. You know, there's got to be more of something. I have to truly believe there's intelligent, that's oxymoron, out there besides just what's on Earth. There's just too much space out there.
Yeah.
So, yes. As far as UFOs go, I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff. I've done some military tours now. I've seen some really weird stuff.
Yeah, you've been overseas doing comedy for the troops.
And you know, whatever might be hovering in the air, we don't know what it is. They've got all kinds of weird stuff out there. And, you know, it's a UFO. Well, yeah, because we don't know what it is, but
right.
Somebody knows what it is.
Well put. That is what UFO means, unidentified.
Yeah.
If we know that it's a spaceship with aliens in it, it's no longer a UFO.
UFO. Yeah.
There's a weird catch-22 in this whole language thing you have to be careful with.
I did read that article that you sent me about the everybody saw something on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
I actually saw what you were talking about.
Oh, really?
I was outside on New Year's Eve.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I actually, and I remember, we were like, what is that? And I'm like, I have no idea. And I was by LAX, and I'm like, who knows what it is? You know, there's a lot of weird stuff, and I don't have the best vision in the world. So I was like, but it was kind of weird because it was just sitting there. It wasn't really moving. But again, you know, I've been on a lot of military tours. There's a lot of weird stuff out there. So,
Well, one of the things that bothered me the most about the over LA sightings, and by the way, this is not the first time we've seen exactly that.
Yeah.
These orbs way off in a distance, slowly going upward.
How come they're always way off in a distance?
Yeah,
how
I know.
How come there's no one actually
how come no
near
one's
it?
Right near it?
You know
right?
what I mean? Or right underneath it or anything like
they
that.
They have better telescopes or something. I don't know.
Yeah, iPhone cameras.
They got really good zoom.
Yes.
I don't understand I don't know why people who are far away from it always make these really grand, the further away you are, they make these grand assumptions about the thing that they saw. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
We felt this spiritual feeling about this orb, and we saw it.
Well, and the movements of it. I mean,
It didn't move. The one I saw didn't move. It just sat there, which was the weirdest thing because it was too bright to be a star, and it was too low in the sky to be a star. Mm. But it didn't. It was big. It was bigger than a star would be sitting there, and it didn't move. And that's for a long time. I was like, well, that's just weird. And then I went on with life because the way I think of things, most of the time, if you're looking for don't look for a zebra in a herd of horses. I'm over LAX. It's a chance it's something to do with aircraft.
Right.
Right.
I was by LAX, and I'm like, whatever. I got other things to worry about.
Well, what makes me crazy when it happens, almost every time, the news just fucks it up grandly. They don't cover it in a journalistic manner at all.
Well, they don't cover anything in a journalistic manner. Yeah.
Right. It's absolutely true.
Used to be who, what, where, when, and you make the, now it's all news is editorial, and I don't care what channel you listen to. It's all editorial. It's our opinion about what you should think.
Right.
Not here's the facts, come up with your own conclusion.
Right. So. Well, here's a news outlet talking about it right here. Let's take a look.
Dazzling in the sky last night, and we're not talking about New Year's Eve fireworks.
Well, people
People from all over Northern California contacted us to report a bizarre flying object or objects.
Does he always talk like that?
George Warren spent the day trying
Hey, honey, pass me the salt and pepper. I'm having some food over here, and I'd like to...
That's Talking Head 101. You have to be able to do that.
Directly through the trees without any problem seeing it.
Stephen Brown watched it over Sacramento. Hans Mout spotted it over Auburn.
Kind of approached from over that direction and came across kind of slow.
Did they see the same thing that Kay Pinlock
The drawing was awesome.
Pretty much right above his palm tree here.
I like the
Multiple
flash
objects, he
that.
Says, captured on his
there
iPhone.
There we go. There you
I've
go.
Seen
Look at that.
Six bright orange color lights.
That's amazing.
And they're like almost in a diamond or triangle shape. It was weird. And then so they started just separating.
You see that other one there on the right, though?
And not just Northern California. Somebody posted this video from the Hollywood Hills on
that
YouTube.
Looks like a line of
Multiple
balloons.
Glowing
That's exactly what it looks like to me.
They're among the New Year's Eve fireworks.
And now it's three
there's
more.
Two, there's two of them.
No, no, no.
There's
one,
three
two,
all
three,
together,
four.
Right?
No, it's four now.
In Auburn, Hans and his wife, Terry, saw it a few hours earlier than the other sightings.
There was no sound. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, of course, far away, you dumb cunt.
The sound, the blinking lights, just this big illuminated...
That's what I'm talking about. She's,
whatever it
she's
was,
talking about how big it is. She doesn't even know the distance.
Left,
you can't know.
It hovered there for probably about 60 seconds, and then it
nice
took
shirt,
off
shirt,
at a high
bro,
rate
bro.
Of speed,
yeah.
out of sight, directly away from us.
I always trust a guy with a meerkat.
Of course,
on
we're all looking for rational explanations for UFO
I thought it was a Geico
sightings.
Thing.
Oh.
This 2008 sighting over the Sacramento Valley.
There we go. Now, that's how the news covers this shit.
Yeah,
well, the news doesn't go try to really find anything out. They claim at the end of this broadcast or the end of this segment, they claim that they contacted the is it FAA? Yeah, the
yeah.
FAA, and the FAA said there was nothing unusual at all. It's
that is an American government-controlled institution, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Do you not trust the American government? Is
well,
that how
you
it
know,
is?
I'm just saying that they might not tell the truth. You know what? I'm such an asshole, and I'm going to address this right now. I have a really bad habit of parroting other people's speech patterns.
Yeah.
So whenever I work with Drew, I start talking like Drew.
Oh, let me tell you something.
And I don't do it on purpose. I feel like such a jerk. But as soon as, because I've been on a lot of shows with him, and whenever he's been on stage, I start mimicking his voice.
Are you sure you don't sometimes just kind of back up and stutter once in a while?
No,
and,
I'm
and
sure
you're just
I stutter.
Heightened. It's a heightened sense, rather.
I'm
because
sure.
I work with Jake Johansson.
I stutter.
And that
I know
guy,
I do.
Has a fucking he has a little weird built-in stutter, right?
He the way he talks,
yeah.
sometimes he'll get into a word a few times over.
It's an emotional impact kind of thing, I think. It's not a stutter in the truest sense. But I become more aware of when I do that. You know what I mean?
If I start talking like this, will you start talking like this?
Yes,
I will.
Talk like this.
I have a really good friend who's French, and I spend any time with her, I start picking up, I mean, not even an hour, I start saying stuff the way she says it.
Really?
Ooh la la. You know, I instantly parrot whoever I'm around, and it's a weird thing, but I've done it many times. I'll start the show, I'll bring up Drew, I'll be normal. And I do have a little bit of a stutter from time to time.
Yeah,
we all do a little bit.
Absolutely.
But as soon as he's done on stage, I have a hard time not mimicking his speech
that
pattern.
That is really funny. Maybe if we can figure out what gene or what causes that to happen within you, we could put it in you and you could just mimic everybody.
I've done that since I was a kid, though. If I'm around people...
I have a similar kind of thing.
Yeah,
I used to be in sales. And when you're in sales, you learn to mirror people.
Yeah.
And that makes them more comfortable with you.
Just don't let him around any black people if he's going to start mimicking people.
You should see me around people with cerebral palsy. It's just awful. It's just fucking awful.
Tourette's.
All right. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to subscribe, if you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/ and sign up. You are a half inch taller in the morning than in the evening. And I'm a half inch harder.
Foundation
Beyond
you are,
Belief
honey.
Is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Drew Lynch and Laura Hayden. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
So I'm excited that you saw it. Now you were under it. Is that the idea? You were near it?
I was on the beach, actually. I went New Year's Eve. I attended a bonfire situation. I burned Christmas trees. It was actually really
That's
fun.
That's it.
Yeah, it was really fun. So anyhow, just hanging out on
Christmas
the
trees with
yeah,
the
yeah. Well, no, really. Well, other people might have been burning some stuff, but yeah. Christmas trees are pretty fun to burn. They light up. It's like little kids running around going, fire, fire. It's actually pretty fun. And, cheap entertainment. You just collect them all, and then you burn hundreds of Christmas trees for hours on the beach. It was kind of fun. So it could, but I was just like, a bag, a balloon. We're over the, who knows,
It was pretty bright lights from the distant video that we saw.
Yeah, it was pretty bright, actually.
So, to me, it stinks of hoax. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think all of it stinks of hoax, but that's me.
Yeah, you're more of a critical thinker than most, I think. Drew,
than these people.
Drew, what's your take on alien ships and that sort of thing? What do you think of these sorts of lights in the sky?
I think those are kind of two different questions. Like, I think maybe it's possible that the lights in the sky for this immediate event is it's possible that this could have been anything, especially since they were so stationary.
Right.
I guess. But I do think I don't know. I could be silly and thinking it, but I think that there are unidentified objects, and it is kind of
with aliens in it. Because you have to be clear about what you
yeah.
think, you know. Because I know there's those are unidentified flying objects that
right.
we see in that video.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I agree with you that unidentified flying objects exist in the same way that I know that unidentified illness exists.
Right.
So you go to the fucking doctor and get some tests done.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
They
right.
sometimes don't know. Let me tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Well,
I can assure you.
But they could be and more than likely are just unidentified. However, with our our life source is people from Earth here.
Right,
you
right.
know. But I also, I think it's silly to think that kind of like what Lauren said. Laura said it's silly to think that we're the only ones.
Right.
You know.
Well, here's where my mind goes with that. My mind goes to, I don't think that we're gonna have aliens arrive here, and have it be unfolding in any of the ways that we've ever seen this UFO thing that you can go.
I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Star Trek Next Generation, and it just seems really likely to me.
Wait till you get season four. When you get to season four, First Contact is the name of the episode. It'll blow your goddamn mind.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. In that, I get to see a Klingon visit Earth or something.
Well, no, no. In that episode, the Federation was aware of a
spoiler alert.
Do you want me to not tell you? Because I won't. I don't have to.
No, you don't. Don't tell me.
All right, I won't.
I do have a theory on, yeah, on aliens and things. You know how we tag, you know, whales and things in the ocean?
Yeah.
Why is it the same people always get abducted over and over again, and they're always like some hillbilly from somewhere? You know, I think that they've tagged them, and they're coming back to check on them from time to time, just like we do with tigers and elephants, and, you know, we're like, we send them out in the wild and see what they do, and then they've tagged them, and they come back, and they check on them. Like, they, well, they're just, you know, they're following us, so like we follow them.
So we've been tagged.
Yeah, like, I think, you know, they're just following up with some people from time
like,
to time.
Like Pluto, they're Pluto made it.
In our vaginas and asses, right? Because yeah, all the probing.
Well, yeah, you know, I think sometimes people, I don't know. But anyhow, that was a theory I came up with, because I was like, why is it always the same people? I've been abducted 8 times. Like, it's never, they never go for a different person. They always have the same person.
Occam's razor suggests that the people who are saying they've been abducted 8 times... are nut jobs.
There is that.
You know, I mean, yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson says that if you've been on an aircraft, an alien aircraft, ship, yeah, at least grab something when you come
grab
back.
An
have
ashtray.
An ashtray. Says, and bring
even
it back
their ashtray
you.
Is going to be very, very different from anything on Earth. You
yeah
know what I mean?
Yeah. So, why didn't you smuggle something in, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's why I don't buy any of the alien abduction thing. I just don't think aliens have been here because yeah, there's not one piece, not one piece of evidence, and by evidence, I mean a thing from the ship,
a tangible thing
that you can look at and you can put under a fucking microscope
not
and go, that
video
is made of metals that we don't have or yeah haven't done.
Yeah, yeah, not a video.
Not a video.
You know,
anyone
those,
can make a video.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody can fabricate
yeah
something, especially if you're paid lots of money to do
that's
so
correct.
Well, one of the things I want to do is I want to take some large white balloons.
You're not supposed to tell people
no,
what
yeah,
you're
I'm
gonna,
do. Yeah, I am. I'm telling our listeners. Our
all
listeners
right,
are fucking
right,
they're skeptics. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to find somebody who's got some helium, or maybe I can just go buy it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know it's a finite resource. I want to get a canister of helium that's not too big where we can go somewhere with it. And I want to put that in the car. I want to take a bunch of balloons, and I want to take a bunch of those party necklaces that glow.
So what are
those
called?
You're
going to create a rave.
Yeah,
a rave balloon. It's going to go up.
Day glow sticks.
Yeah. And then I'm going to put the day glow sticks. Wow, that sounds offensive to Italians. I'm going to put the day glow sticks inside the balloons, fill them up with helium, and then send a whole bunch of balloons in the exact same way that you saw in that video, and then we just watch and see, and then we'll release our video of us releasing it. But we're going to wait. We're going to wait until people film it, put it up on the internet, and describe it and talk about it. And what's going to happen is, I can predict right now, and I'm telling you, I'm going to nail it. There will be people very far from it that describe it completely wrong. They're going to say that it went up and shot to the right, or it shot way away, and it was flying differently. And the formation there, let me tell you something. You can see, when you see three, first of all, any three objects in the sky, no matter where they are, they create a triangle. Let's be clear about this. It doesn't matter how close or far they are, they create a triangle. That's what 3 points are.
Right.
So
yeah,
there's
right
nothing magical about the fact that you're seeing a triangle. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, it has a lot to do with pressure up in that part of the atmosphere as well. How much heat and wind and atmosphere pressure depends on how things move. So,
yep.
I mean, it could just be a paper bag, and it moved oddly because of, you know, as we get higher and higher, the pressure.
Well, there are massive winds flowing really far, really fast at certain altitudes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's possible, I guess, yeah, that did happen. So we'll see. But we'll film from below, or maybe we'll vector film, you know, two cameras.
And the person holding the string all the way at the bottom will
no
be
string
a Yeti.
No string. No string. We
or
will be littering.
Foot.
We will
there
be littering on this.
There was something dazzling point in the sky last night.
Why
I'm not
would
talking
you do
about
that?
New Year's Eve.
That sight, which we played earlier, for some reason, every 5 to 10 minutes
just
starts playing again. I forgot
yeah
to close it.
That's the aliens.
Yeah. I want to play the this is not the first time we've had this happen. I think there's somebody in Hollywood or L.A. who is doing this on purpose.
Yes, you.
Yeah, like I'm going to be one of them.
The guy who did the Bigfoot videos, you know, forever and ever.
Yeah.
All right, so there were some guys. When I saw this video, I laughed out loud. I was fucking on the floor. There are some guys on December 10th, I believe, on their balcony, and they're filming similar kinds of lights.
Hollywood, God dang it. They're like all disappearing, by the way.
We see it. Steve, show us. Who's here? Witness. Is that recording?
Yeah.
Oh, they're reliable sources,
right?
It's recording.
What's going on?
Not fucking good quality. God damn it.
That's cool. That's like got it.
They're going in a line, bro.
The main ones.
They're going in a line, bro.
You see those planes that are. You see those helicopters that are. You see all those helicopters that are. Bro!
Dude!
Wow. Dude!
What the fuck?
No, those are not balloons. Balloons don't brightly give off heat like that. That's energy.
It's energy.
Dude. That's energy, bro. That's energia.
Energia? What's energia?
It's a new type of energy.
There's more coming up.
Yeah, there's those three down there. Like right over. Like, no fucking
and they
way.
They formed
man.
A triangle, by the way.
No
yeah, they formed
way.
Like a triangle.
There you go.
Oh, we see a helicopter over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the ghetto bird. Look at these. Dang.
Yeah, it's like right over like Koreatown, like South Hollywood.
So now, when I watched this the first time, I visually can see that something is being released from the ground and moving upward. And yeah. Nobody. In their alcohol or marijuana-induced haze, points that fact out.
Yeah, because nothing's going down. It's all going
so
up.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
No one's ever close to it either.
Yeah,
from close up.
Yeah, it's never close.
This is some of the more steady camera work I've seen on this.
And they all, like, dude, they were going in, like, a swirly line.
Here's my favorite part coming up.
Look at those helicopters. They're all going. They're like, yeah. Dude, watch. Dude, look, government.
Yeah, they're about to make a mistake.
Government.
They're about to make a mistake.
Nosy. Yep.
There's still one more. There's still one more. There's still one more. He's like, we.
I feel like I'm listening to Cheech and Chong.
I know, right?
Dude, there's a Santa, you know.
Look at that. That is, what is that?
At first, I thought it was the son from Breaking Dad. Breaking Bad.
I know, but
Breaking Bad.
It's like a special ops fucking destroyer. Like, what?
What?
The military sending
in. Simply heading over there.
The military sending in their fucking.
What if there was like.
Army shit. Dude, what if we just see a helicopter explode right now?
Watch this. Here we go.
Here we go. Helicopter's heading over there.
All we know is that orb of energy is still there, bro.
They slowed it down. That's not me. They did that.
It's still there, bro. I feel like Spicoli is narrating this one.
Oh, he's like on it.
It goes right past.
It actually circles it. So there's somebody in a helicopter who has an answer of what this is.
Yeah.
Because that chopper flew over to it and flew around.
Look, he's turning.
He's turning,
bro. They're circling.
He does sound like the kid from Breaking Bad.
He does sound like the kid from Breaking Bad.
Bro, they're circling.
I love the slowed down part.
Dude, no fucking way.
This was on the news?
No, okay. This is on the web.
It's okay. A video.
It's from December 10th, and it just killed me. It just killed me. It doesn't get any better from there. It's just a bunch of drunk, potheaded guys.
What did the response on the web say?
Only 51 views, so no one cares.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, this one actually has no comments yet. And I'm like,
and this was from when?
No one's commenting.
They should put on their alien sighting and Kardashian, and then people would actually start to watch it. They right. Watch the whole thing because they think they're going to see a Kardashian, and then they'll get comments.
What they're really seeing is a Cardassian. Thank you, another Star Trek reference. I'm
Thank
an idiot.
You.
Yeah, we're watching too much. We're catching up on Next Generation. We've been,
Are you?
We've been, yeah, we've been binge watching at night.
Okay.
So,
thank your daughter for that.
Yeah. What the? Oh, she's not here. All right, listen. I did want to talk about this because it was so big in the news, and it was making me fucking nuts that the news doesn't cover things well. You know what I mean? They just
nothing
at all
ever.
Right. They actually seem to perpetuate. They want to perpetuate these weird, frightful ideas.
Yeah, because then you have to watch more news because that's their business for you to watch the news. If they only.
Do you really think that's their motivation?
Yes.
That's insidious. What a cynical view. Is that true?
That's what I think, yeah.
Yeah.
It's money.
I'm sorry.
It's
Hold
money.
On. We're
going to
turn on
space.
The microphone for Sam. What'd you say, Sam?
It's just money. They sell ad space now. It's not the same as it once was.
Yeah.
It's a for-profit business.
It's a product. And if you have to watch the news because there's a car chase. I mean, there's nothing better than fires and, you know, Storm Watch 2000 because we got a half an inch of rain, you know, or whatever. You know, they have to have something for you to turn on and be paranoid about because if everything in LA was great today. All right, well, I don't have to watch the news. Everything was fine. We were sunny. We were happy. Nobody died. It's great. Mm-hmm. You don't turn on the news. Nobody turns on the news for happy stuff. You turn on to find out what car crashes happened, what the weather's doing, where the storm watch was, you know, car chases, fires, you know, suicides, you know, whatever. How many of us watched OJ in a car chase for hours, the slow car chase?
And their feel-good stories are always like, kitten in a tree.
Yeah. You know? And it's always like 1 second because that doesn't motivate people to watch.
Right.
We all stop to watch the car crash.
So we're the problem.
Well, no, they've perpetuated it and we've bought into it. People didn't used to watch the news that way. It used to be the facts only and the editorial was only at the end of the news.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that. I don't think that it was the facts only. Is it time for a break?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Christ. All right. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. And available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist?
Have
well,
you?
You have now. So go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. Semen, yeah, I said semen, is one of the most fattening substances known to man. I think they mean known to women. Am I right, fellas?
No.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Drew Lynch and Laura Hayden. Thanks again for being here.
Yes, thank you.
So, yeah, what I take exception with, I guess, is that I think that we were well duped by the news when I was a kid. When we watched Walter Cronkite, you know what I mean? We were getting a liberal slant at that point in time.
I would agree.
You know what I mean?
I would agree that there was a slant, definitely, but it I think that they had more checks and balances about how much storytellers' embellishment they could use, you know, when they were telling the news. Now it just seems to be, you know, fabricated facts almost. It's like, well, if somebody posted something and said it on YouTube and said it, and then somebody else retweeted it, and then by the third time in, it became true, even though it was never true to begin with. Well, it came from this source, that came from this source, that came from this source, and you finally go back to the other source, it wasn't ever real. I think that there was more integrity about making sure that the facts were accurate and true, and now it's kind of like, they don't even try.
The worst thing about the news,
even 60 Minutes screwed up recently. They didn't even, I mean, they're like the last institution that were like really, really checks and balances, and they screwed up, and they admitted it, but they were not real. Yay, we
what screwed up? Oh, I don't watch the news. I'm sorry, so I don't know.
A very well-renowned reporter, the soldier that I don't,
the Benghazi scandal.
Yes, there we go.
What'd they get wrong? that it happened? Everything.
No, but essentially they didn't corroborate information. They didn't really, they didn't go back and fact check. And then it came back and bit them in the ass big time. But they had an informant that was lying, misinforming, and they didn't, right.
Yeah.
The worst thing about the news for me, and I watch it because at work, the old lady that I sit with sometimes will watch the news for hours on end, and they repeat everything at least every half an hour. They repeat the same three or four stories, and it drives me nuts. Like, why would anyone sit through that?
Is she watching Fox?
No.
Well, why do people watch the Weather Channel? I mean, I don't understand that either.
People there's watch actually the Weather Channel?
Yeah, there are. There's a condition
and people watch
where,
it.
There's a condition where people are obsessed with checking on the weather like every 10 or 15 minutes. It's an interesting like neuroses, I guess. I don't know what
you'd
call
my favorite ads one time was the Weather Channel, all new programming. And I'm like, I knew it. They were making it up. They were just there's somebody back there just making it up.
I knew Dick Cheney was in charge of that shit.
I used to do a joke about that. I'm like, they got this big computer with things and there's somebody goes like, just say it's raining somewhere, you know? Say there's snow, there's sleet, you know, there's all new programming. I'm like, really? It's the Weather Channel. There shouldn't be new programming. It should be
well, there's
weather.
There's something interesting about the weather. Seeing as current events are things that have happened, and the weather is marking something that
is going to happen.
So even though the content of the temperature of the high of tomorrow is not very, very interesting. The idea of knowing that is something in the area of a concentrated prediction. That's something that's interesting. I could see how that could be interesting to some
exciting
people.
Well, it sounds to me like what you're doing is you're predicting that the weather is going to kind of take over, because
why not? If aliens can, well, why not the weather?
with global warming coming up, I mean, it's just a matter of time before the prediction is tomorrow you are going to die if you step outside of your house.
We're kind of there right now. Homeless people are dying all over the country because they're freezing to death. Right.
Oh my God!
You're the Weather Channel.
I had no idea global warming was going to solve the homeless issue.
You're welcome,
that's
everyone.
In Canada, they call it. What do they call homeless people?
I wish the homeless issue would solve global warming.
Burn the homeless people.
No.
What do they call a homeless person in Canada during the winter? A statue.
That's awful and hilarious. I recently saw a story. I don't know who or where or what. It was a quick thing I saw on the internet. I don't remember where I saw it. Doesn't matter. Tumblr is where I saw it, I think. Somebody has done a story. I'm going to air quotes this. If you're listening via iTunes, I'm air quoting when I say a journalist did a story where he grew a beard, he put on hair that looked like made him look homeless.
Oh yeah.
And he goes out and he panhandles, and he made $90 that day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his big proof.
It's don't give to the homeless.
That homeless people are a scam.
Yeah, he was telling.
That's his.
Saying
that's
not
his
to
argument.
Give to the homeless because they make
fucking
so much
retarded,
money.
Fucking retarded, jag-off piece of shit, worst crap journalism I've ever fucking seen. The homeless problem is a fucking problem, and yeah, people are absolutely.
It's on Fox News too. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah, was it? Yeah, I saw a. I was in. I was in New York, and a guy asked for money, and I gave him a fiver, and the guy I was with, who I won't name, he's like, you know, that guy's just going to...
His name rhymes with...
I'm not doing that gag. He goes, you know, that guy's probably just going to go shoot that in his arm, and I'm like, yeah, I don't care. He probably lives in a fucking box. I think some escape is in order here.
Exactly.
I went back and gave him more money once he said that. Yeah. He can't buy good heroin with $5.
Yeah, you need at least 20.
There was a. I went a small period in my life when a homeless would ask for money. I would say, "Well, I'll walk you in one of these stores and buy you some food." Mm-hmm. But I stopped doing that. I stopped. If I had money to give someone, I would just give them their money, and you know, when they need to eat, they'll eat, and when they need to get high, they're going to get high. Me not giving them money is not going to stop them from getting high.
Exactly. Self-medication for their ills, whatever they will be, they're going to do it.
That's the other thing. I mean, the since Reagan, and I'm not a big political guy, but I've heard it and I've read it, and it sounds true to me, since Reagan basically released all the homeless into the wild.
Yes, he did that. In California,
There are people who can't get their fucking medications anymore. Yep. I watched more than one friend go through the system here in California who have psychological issues, who need to get balanced and can't, and are refused, are told, go fuck yourself, we're not helping you, and I personally, you do too.
Yep.
We personally have a friend who's been fucking shooed away dozens of times, currently living on the streets.
Yep.
And he needs medication, and he's a mess. He's an absolute mess.
The homeless is a huge problem, and it has many, many, many layers. But there are people that choose to be homeless because they choose not to, you know, and they're actually, you know, they're not thousands of dollars in debt like I am, so they're probably winning. there are truly people that are like, you know, you bought into the fact that you should have a house and a place to live and everything. You don't have to. And then there are people that truly have mental illness that need, you know, as society, we should be caring for them, but we as a society somehow chose not to. And you're right, they need medication, they need to be stabilized, and they don't have it, and they don't have the resources, so they're on the street, you know,
and then so they self-medicate.
Yeah. And then there are people that, you know, have fallen into problems, self-abuse, you know, whether it's brought on by them or other people, drugs and stuff, and they're on the street because they have a problem that needs to be dealt with as well, that they somehow developed, and you know that. So there's a lot of situations there. But I'm with you. If you have money and you feel generous that day, I just give them money. I've actually given. I've left nice restaurants and I've had a to-go bag. And the guy's like, I need some money for food.
Oh, I've done that.
And I'm like, I have some food here from Jelena. And they're like, oh, I love Jelena. And I'm like, well, here you go. You know, here's a $20 pizza.
Jelena's dumpster.
So I've actually given, you know, I'm like, I have food. I don't have any money because I don't carry cash a lot. But I'm like, if you want this, and they're like, well, what is it? You know, I'm just kidding.
I've had people say that. What's in the bag? Yeah.
Mm. I was watching the Food Network, which I also do at work a lot. And they had a show, it was Chopped. And on Chopped, there's four contestants, and they take items that that you have to cook with, and they present them to the contestants, and that's what they have to cook with. Uh-huh. And this particular episode was throwaway food. So things that people would normally throw away, a chicken carcass, onion ends.
Soul food.
No.
Soup.
Yeah, you know, what's left in a container of dressing and all these different kinds of...
So real waste.
Yeah, real waste. People would actually throw it
grocery
away.
Grocery stores are amazing dumpster diving for food if you need to. They throw a lot of food away, a lot of food away.
Restaurants throw tons of food away, too.
Yeah, they do.
They serve ridiculously sized portions. Yeah, I mean, the portions are huge.
Yeah, but grocery stores have to, by law, throw things away sometimes, produce and things that are still edible, so...
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to go.
There's a whole community. What's it called? I can't remember.
Oh, I forget. Yeah, they live.
Britt Marley did that film, The East.
They do. They live just off what we've thrown away as waste. Yeah.
Right.
A movie about this?
Yeah. I forget what those people are called, but they...
I can't remember the name
either,
of it.
But I remember...
I would say frugal.
Yeah.
That's what I think they are. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to some of our listeners. Sam Ford, Hal, Mercury, Zaveros, Fritz, Jizmopper, Joe Swam, and Cameron Winters. These were some of the names of the people chatting in the Skeptic Tank during the last show. Thanks for being there, everybody.
Jizmopper was on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
I love that guy. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Drew Lynch and Laura Hayden.
So you can change your name to anything you want on our chat room wall. You can make it anything.
Well, last week we got on some jag about jizz mopping because we had Susanna Lee on the show.
I see.
And that's, so I think, what happened. So they changed their name to jizz mopper.
Fun times. Fun times.
That's an interesting tag name.
Yeah. So the bottom line on the UFO thing, I want to tag this before we move on and talk about crop circles. In my opinion, aliens aren't going to show up in any of the ways that we see people talking about UFOs. They're not going to be orbs floating over a city. That doesn't make any fucking sense. When aliens get here, it's going to be laser rays just popping us off in the streets. That's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be a fucking, there's not going to be, oh my God, look at the floating thing, or they suck me up in their ship and they put a probe in my ass.
We're here.
Yeah, yeah. It's either going to be war or it's going to be.
You don't think it's going to be E.T.? Come on.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't think it's going to be it's not going to be a Muppet. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be a fucking Muppet.
You're saying that if there's an alien race that's strong enough to be able to get here, that they're going to be strong enough to wipe us off the planet.
Yeah, well, I think that they're going to, I think it's going to be one of two things. They're either going to rain down terror on us, or they're going to land and they're going to talk to the various presidents of the various countries because they've been monitoring us from afar and they know what to do to invite us to, you know, the Federation of Stars.
Star Trek, yay! Yeah.
It's one of those two scenarios.
How about Contact?
What happened in Contact? Was that the one where, who was in that? That was
Jodie Foster.
Yeah, that's the one where Jodie Foster.
It's an amazing book by Carl Sagan, actually.
Yeah, she got raped on a pinball machine, right?
That's a different movie.
Oh. Sorry.
But similar plot line, so thanks.
It was close to what I thought was going to happen.
You know what I found out at work? That about 85% of people believe that there's life outside of our world, but you cannot use alien abduction as a viable reason for why you didn't show up for work. I have done that, and I want you to know you cannot use that as an excuse for why you didn't show up to work.
So funny. What do you do with a day job? You have a day job?
I do.
You want to tell it or not? You
why
don't have
not?
To.
Why not? I told you a little bit last night when you saw me. I actually, I'm a physical therapist.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's get physical. How long have you been doing that?
14 years.
It's great work.
What kind of physical therapy?
Do you like it?
I work in outpatient orthopedics most days.
Yeah.
Yes, I do like it. It's good. I went to school forever and ever to become a physical therapist. And actually, I work now as kind of a migrant therapist worker. I cover sick days, jury duty, maternity leaves for 10 different clinics so that I can have a more flexible travel schedule for comedy. So when I get tired of treating patients, I go tell jokes. And when I get tired of telling jokes, I go treat patients.
Nice.
And treating patients with a sense of humor is the way to go.
Yeah, actually my dissertation, I went back and got my doctorate, which I talked about, and my dissertation was on the healing aspects of laughter as it pertains to caretaker stress and burnout, which could be extrapolated to almost everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on trying to turn that into a speaker's platform because, one, I believe laughter does heal. It helped my life immensely. And two, entertaining speakers get paid very, very well. And as we know, comics do not.
I'm a caretaker for a 92-year-old woman with Alzheimer's.
Oh, well, there you go. We should chat.
Yeah. And she's recently broke her foot.
Oh, my.
And I find that we push her in a wheelchair now. I find that now it's harder for her to stand up and even walk just a little bit because she's been sitting so long.
Yeah, atrophy.
It's just kind of scary, actually.
Yeah,
I feel the same way when I'm on the couch for a couple hours.
Atrophy happens really quick,
right?
Especially in elderly. It's
it does.
Oh man, my mom broke her fucking femur, and she's still not completely on her feet. And that was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And they think they're gonna have to go back in and do a third operation they put more pins in or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a reason that we shoot them when they're really old.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I hope Wendy's not listening.
But that's what I do during the day. So yeah, I work in outpatient orthopedics. So her broken ankle would be what I would treat, but not her neurological disorder so much because that's not really the area that I specialize in anymore. When I came out of school, I thought I would work with neurologically challenged people, but I ended up in outpatient orthopedics, which worked out great. So
wow.
Anyhow,
cool.
The broken foot I'd work on. The rest we just deal with because that's part of the person.
And since we're on that trajectory, what job were you doing when you got hit in the throat?
I worked as a tickets person.
Tickets person for where?
At a comedy club at at Flappers at that.
Oh, at Flappers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, we're cool. Which you know, prior to being able to do this full time, I used to continue to work tickets there, and it was kind of funny because there would be like a line of people out the door, and then people from the streets see a line, and they're like, oh, somebody huge must be there tonight, and then they get to the front, and it's just me working tickets. So yeah, I mean, it was that was what I did prior to.
Does this. The Flappers Club do they utilize that? You know, that's a known psychological effect/ trick to get people into the club is to create lines.
Nightclubs have been doing it for years.
Been yeah. doing it for years. Mm-hmm. Does Flappers employ that? Do they get the lines going?
I don't think as much as they should. You know, yeah. Like the improv, you know, the Laugh Factory, yep. all these big clubs. They don't care about weather conditions, and neither do people really. I mean, yeah. they'll bring coats or whatever, and it's the idea that you're literally seeing what's gonna be brought into this showroom. So you know you want to be a part of it,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So you know, and I feel like Flappers sometimes they like to open the doors and have people come inside, but I would definitely have people wait.
Yeah, you know? When especially when you have a big name, put a big name on the marquee, get a line going, and do that as often as possible. That's the key. That improv understood that all the way back in the original days.
Yeah, yep.
When they started,
I like seeing a big line and then going to the front because
I like that. I like. Maybe I'm old and I'm a pussy, but I'm like, I see a big line, I'm like, it's too many people, I'm gonna go home.
Well, and all of us in entertainment are spoiled in that way. I mean, yeah. I mean, I can be anywhere on
the
road.
Probably no parking with all these people here. I'm just gonna go home.
I can be anywhere on the road, and if it's a comedy club, I know the system, and I never get in the line. I just go right up to the door, and I go, I'm a comic, and 99.9% of the time, they're like, oh, cool, come on in. They have this kind of secret handshake. If you know it, you're in. You know, and
that,
you don't have to
that happens
in.
To me at Flappers. I walk in and people go, "Oh, are you a comic?"
Yeah.
To me,
yeah.
I go, "I must look funny to you." You know, well, and it happened a couple of times.
Yeah,
when I've gone in,
that's because you're fucking one.
No, that's not it.
All the time I walk in, they're like, do you know who the comic is? And I'm like, that would be me. And they're like, you're the comic. I get just the reverse. I've walked in places with on the road, and I'll be the headliner, and I'll be with my feature, and they think I'm the feature's girlfriend. And they're like, do you know when the headliner's going to get there? And they're like, this is her. And they're like, oh, sorry.
Oh, this industry is still, we still have issues.
They think, I walked in with a 23-year-old boy, and they think that I'm his girlfriend, and we're waiting for the headliner. You know?
Yeah. And in fact, he's just your bitch.
Yeah, no, he was just the guy I was working with. Very funny. He's cool. Actually very, very funny, and I'm looking
and
forward.
And your bitch.
And nope, not at all. Yeah. Just looking forward to when he has his own TV show and he puts me on. That's all.
Who are we talking about? Anybody I know?
Well, Grant Cotter and I spent a lot of time on the road together. Very funny man.
Yeah.
And then also Matt Baca, also very funny.
Matt Baca.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on the road together. And, you know, and it's always like, when's the other comic getting here? Well, she's here.
All right, let's move on to crop circles. I have a friend who is...
crazy.
By all...
Everybody has a crazy friend.
Well, by any measurement, James Inman is I mean, really, he's retarded, actually. I mean, that's the right thing to say about Jim. I mean, honestly, I'm positive he had the umbilical cord around his neck at some point. The guy believes crop circles. And when you talk with him, when I talk to Jim about it, he'll scream at me, you haven't read as many fucking books as I have. You know, so he's one of those assholes that the argument from authority makes that fallacious argument. But... he's convinced that, and his packaging is nuts. It's really nuts. The way that he packages the whole crop circle thing is that he believes it happened, then people started emulating it, and that's why we see people doing it. So he's got this inverted kind of thing in his head, you know what I mean? Where he can package it and make it work. And no amount of evidence, no amount of examples of how easy it is to do it.
No men of documentaries that show that they're making the crop circles.
Nothing will sway him. Have you ever believed in the crop circle thing at all?
I find them fascinating that people have this kind of time and energy.
Yeah, real.
I'm like, but it's the same people, that draw beautiful art in chalk on sidewalks that, it's going to go away. I guess it's the same sort of thing. This is their art, They do crop circles. I find them interesting. I didn't think they were alien produced because, for one, what purpose would that serve?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, what
to me it was just to plug into the idea that they go out and they hover over farmland and then they probe farmers' kids and farmers. That's I think all
then,
it was about.
More probing.
And then they left an interesting piece of art for us to enjoy. temporary art to enjoy, which is very nice.
Initially it was supposed to be the way it landed.
Yeah.
It's like whatever's making the thing fly knocked over. That was the initial claim.
Okay.
And then it just morphed into another thing. Did you ever get sucked into it, Drew? Not at all?
Nope.
All right. We're going to find out more about crop circles
after
we come back, because that's it for the free version of episode 60, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. I'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. We're getting caught up on our back issues. Thanks for hanging in there for us. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests Drew Lynch and Laura Hayden. Also want to thank my co-host Heather Henderson, our technical team Sam Kramer, and the absentee Blythe Renee. Tune in next time as our guests will be
Disagreeable Assholes.
And we'll be talking about
Disagreeable Assholes.
We don't even know who's booked.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Skeptic Tank moderator, Joseph Number One Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Number Two Winters.
I make some shit. You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Where can people find you, Laura?
www.laurahayden.com.
And Drew?
DrewLynch.com.
That's a lot of letters. All right, thanks for tuning in. That's it. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.